They know their way here. Probably don't have to plug in the navigation anymore.
No.
But anyway, it's good to have you here. So please, will you come, sir, and bring the word to us.
Oh, it is good to be here. Let's go ahead and pray because we're going to hit the ground running this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your word, Lord, that you have given to us, Lord, to transform our minds so that we may know your desire, know your will. And Lord, I pray, God, that this would be instructive and encouraging, teaching for us, Lord, and that overall by this you would be glorified. We love you so much, Lord, and we give you due praise, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you can turn with me, please, to the book of Jude. We'll be going through the second to the last book in the Scriptures. We will do our best to go through all verses. So I'm going to start this particular discourse with a story that's going to kind of set up what we're going to be talking about this morning. On May 26th, 2015, a woman by the name of Jess Greening, an 18-year-old student at the University of Nottingham, made headline news when she caught an eye infection that was caused by a parasite, which was, quote, unquote, living and feasting on her eye. This parasite caused this young lady's eye to become inflamed, which was very painful, and it swelled to the size of a golf ball. This optical invader obviously is merciless when it overtakes the eye and attaches itself to the eye surface. Then, in its feeding stage, it burrows down within the eye and begins to destroy it from the inside. If one does not diligently treat their eye to remove this troublesome organism, it will, quote unquote, lead to less sharp vision and eventually blindness. Now, what does this have to do with Jude this morning? Well, Jude is an interesting book. It is written to the believers in Christ. We see this, as a matter of fact, in the first first introductory verses of Jude. He says, Jude, a bondservant of Christ Jesus and a brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Right? So this is to believers. And yet Jude is giving a stern warning to believers about people who have crept in and essentially attached themselves to the body of Christ like this organism. As a matter of fact, he writes this in verse 4 and 5 in the letter of Jude. He goes, I'll start at verse 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you all about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you all appealing that you contend for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in without notice. Those who long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness or rebellion, and deny our only Lord, Master and Lord Jesus Christ. So Jude is presenting information to the believers, Jude notices something that's going on within the body of Christ, that there are certain people that have crept in unnoticed that are spreading false doctrine. And some of these saints are wavering. We'll talk about that later in this text here. And so Jude is giving a warning to the saints that there were those who were among them that were spreading false teaching. Now, some historical observations of this text here. Scholars place the time of this epistle of Jude at around 65 to 80 AD. I would say that this epistle is written a bit more earlier than that, likely before 70 AD. I'll give you some reasons why I support this view. First of all, Jude mentions James, Jacob in verse 1. Jude, a bondservant of Christ Jesus and a brother of James. James, the book of James, is who he's talking about here, was written, I believe, very early. Okay? And he mentions this in his writing. In addition, this letter, this epistle, is highly Jewish. Okay? As a matter of fact, if we were to turn to, which is I'm going to have you do that right now, as a matter of fact, 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 2, we're going to compare and contrast here. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 2 fits perfectly with the book of Jude. For example, before you do that, just put your finger on that. We'll come back to that in a second. Okay? Just put your finger on it. Go back to Jude. Put a bookmark or something there, a piece of paper, rip it and put it there. Okay? Jude mentions James, and Jude mentions much of the Old Testament saints. For instance, Jude mentions, Old Testament accounts, really. Jude mentions Israel coming out of Egypt. That's verse 5. Jude mentions Sodom and Gomorrah and all of the neighboring cities. That's verse 7. Jude mentions Michael, an archangel, which is associated with the book of Daniel and the dispute for Moses' body. Moses was highly respected among those who are Jewish. Jude mentions Cain, he mentions Balaam, and Korah, all in the Old Testament. These are examples all parallel to who Jude is describing. He's going to use these people as examples to underscore the quality and characteristics of these people who have crept in and are deceiving the body of Christ with these false doctrines. He mentions Enoch, an Old Testament saint as well. We already mentioned the audience are believers. And like I said, this letter strikes very similar to 2 Peter. Now we can compare and contrast here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 22. For example, Jude calls Jesus the master. That's verse 4. He says, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. It's interesting that Peter uses the same word here in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there also will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. Interesting. Jude mentions Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7. It says, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as examples in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah and all of the neighboring cities that were involved in all of this gross activity? Not being hospitable was essentially taking advantage of people by way of gross immorality. Well, Peter mentions Sodom and Gomorrah too in verse 6, as a matter of fact, and tells how they were removed. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example of those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. Sodom and Gomorrah was punished due to its gross conduct. Jude mentions the qualities of false teachers in verses 8 to 19. We will go through that briefly. And Peter also mentions these qualities in verses 10 to 22 of chapter 2. They're very much the same. Jude mentions black darkness in verse 13. That's an interesting verse. He says, wild waves of the sea, this is Jude, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. That's an interesting word, by the way. Black darkness. It's interesting. Well, hopefully when we get there, we'll talk about it. But Peter mentions this too in verse 17 of chapter 2. He says, these are springs without water and mist driven by a storm, whom the black darkness, same word, same phrase, has been reserved. Interesting. Jude also does not mention other things that Paul mentions in his epistles. For example, Paul mentions the rapture of the saints in 1 Thessalonians 4. Jude doesn't mention that. Paul mentions the glorification of the saints in 1 Corinthians 15. Jude doesn't mention that either. How about the Bema throne of Christ for believers when we go up and receive our commendations from Christ? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Jude doesn't mention that either. The very point of this epistle, of Jude, beloved in Christ, is the judgment of those who are doing this. That's the point of this. Who pervert the faith and twist the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ and are found among the people of the faith. How do we know this? Well, we see this in verse 3 of Jude, by the way. He says, beloved, while I was making every effort to you all to write about our common salvation, I felt that necessity, he was going to write about something else. He observed what was going on and said, you know what, I'm going to shelve this and write about this because this is important. He said, I felt the necessity to write to you all appealing that you contend, that you fight for the faith. Jude, also in verse 17 of this text, recalls the words of the apostles. He says this, but you all, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles. He said, you need to really recall this. You need to take note of this. You need to remember to actively think about what the apostles who were sent by Jesus taught you all. Because these people who are within you are not teaching what the apostles are teaching. Again, the purpose of this book, it would appear that Jude was warning the body of Christ because some people were coming in and introducing these doctrines, and the believers, some of them, were being persuaded by these. Jude tells them to continue to build themselves up on the faith. What does that mean? We're going to talk about that right now. So let's walk through this text here. Now that we kind of have a general overview of what this text is, let's walk through this text. First of all, the first observation is the delivered faith. We find this in verse 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you all about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you all, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith. It's fascinating. This word faith, what does this mean? Sometimes we attribute this word faith as a verb, something we're supposed to do. But that's not the way the original text lays out. As a matter of fact, this word is a noun, not a verb. What is it that is the faith? What is the object? The object of our faith, or the faith, it's not a verb, it's not an action, but it's an object. That is, whenever it talks about the faith, it's talking about the doctrines, the instructions. This. As a matter of fact, what's interesting is he goes on and says, I felt the necessity to write to you all, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to these saints. What has been handed down? The doctrines of Christ by the apostles. As a matter of fact, we find this reality in a couple of places. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. This is after Jesus resurrects. Matthew chapter 28. I'll start at verse 16. This is after Jesus resurrects. This is before he ascended, and he's giving instructions to his disciples who will later become apostles because he's going to send them out. But the 11 disciples, that is minus Judas, proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. This is verse 16. Verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped, but some were doubtful, that is unconvinced. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you all. So God in Christ was telling them to, look, go out into all the world and teach what I have given you. Right? We see the start of this. I'm going to have you guys turn a whole bunch of places today. Acts 2. We see the start of this in Acts chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 42 specifically, but I'm going to start at verse 40. This is at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes and rests on everyone there, and Peter, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, gets up and proclaims Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Says verse 40, and with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, that is the audience that's there, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continuously devoting themselves to what? The apostles' teaching. This is the faith, the apostles' teaching into fellowship, and the breaking of bread into prayer. They were to transmit what God had told them. This faith, this instruction, these doctrines, they were handing down. And they had received this from God himself. Back to Jude, if you will. This salvation is also complete. Verse 3. For beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you all, appealing that you contend for the faith which was once for all. Once for all. It's complete. There is nothing else. There's nothing else to be revealed. There's nothing else to be cracked open. This is it. It is necessary and sufficient concerning God's mindset, God's plan, God's will, God's purpose, God's history. The way it started and the way it will end. It is done. Now, why is Jude writing like this? He talks about the instructions and that the instructions are complete. Why? Because there are people that are coming in. As a matter of fact, he describes them. He says, verse 4, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed who were long ago beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only master and Lord. This is fascinating here. Because we find that there's two distinctions, two people, two different groups of people that Jude is mentioning. One of them are the saints, right? We saw that in verse 2. But there are other ones that are ungodly. This word ungodly is an adjective. It's actually associated with those who don't fear the Lord. It's connected to that. Those who don't fear the Lord. And by the way, the fear of the Lord is interesting because David in Psalm 19 tells us that the fear of the Lord is another way of saying basically the testimonies of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the scriptures, what God has revealed. People who are ungodly, these people do not receive his word. Period. Interesting. They turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. This is a deceptive doctrine, a deceptive faith, a deceptive instruction that these people are bringing. Now, it's interesting to note that Jude begins to start to talk about the characteristics of these teachers. And what's fascinating about this is he begins to point out examples from the Old Testament. For example, the first example is in verses 5. Now, I desire to remind you that you know that though you know all things once for all, he mentions it again. He says, you know the scriptures. You know the instruction of the Lord once for all. That the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. This is fascinating. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 an account that Paul gives. And it's within this context that Jude reminds the saints that he's talking about something. First Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5-10. He goes, I'll start at verse 5 here. He goes, nevertheless, I'll start at verse 1. And I'll start at verse 5. It says, nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased. That is, with those who were in the wilderness. For they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happen as an example for us, so we would not crave the things that they crave. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in one day. You remember that account? They made that golden calf, right? They went and said, this is God, right? This is the one who we should worship. And they engaged in revelry. And Moses came down after he interceded for Israel to relent. Petitioned God to relent from destroying Israel. He came down, grounded the calf into powder, had them drinking, and basically executed all those in front. That's what he's talking about here. That judgment came on those who didn't do what the Lord said and weren't acting in accordance with what they were supposed to be doing. These are ungodly people. So that's verse 5. Verse 6 talks about, and the angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Isn't this fascinating here? So you have divine messengers who basically left their post on purpose. This wasn't like a oopsie, or as my daughter says, and a oops, This wasn't like an oopsie. Okay? This wasn't like I'm sorry, I miscalculated. They willingly left their post. I'm not going to serve this way. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to stand here. And because of that, they were judged. They are kept in eternal bonds. They will not be allowed to be free. In fact, they are going to go into judgment. They're going to be thrown like a ball. So we find that even divine messengers, angelic hosts, face judgment. And then just as Sodom and Gomorrah, we talked about that, right? Where Lot had lived, and we saw the gross immorality that's described in that passage, right? And as a result, Lot and his family was spared, but the Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities were toast. So Jude gives us three examples here, three examples of judgment. And the surrounding context that involves that judgment, they did not teach, they did not believe what the Lord had revealed. And at the same time, they were willingly, intentionally going against what God has said. This isn't an accident. They were purposely doing this. Verse 8. Now we get into the qualities and the characteristics of these false teachers. This is very, very interesting. He goes, yet in the same way these men... That is the same way that these unbelievers in Israel rebelled and they were destroyed. The angels who didn't know their role and they were put into judgment. And the gross immorality of Sodom and Gomorrah by their conduct were destroyed. In the same way these men, yet also by dreaming, they were dreamers. They make things up. Instead of being grounded in the truth, they infect the body of Christ by creating doctrines out of their own imagination. We know who they are. Practices of Mormonism, Scientology, those who claim that they're Christians and yet talk of another gospel. In the same way, these men also by dreaming, they make things up. They defile the flesh. They add to the gospel. Oh, yeah. Grace, you're saved by grace after all you can do. Or you're not saved by grace. You're saved by works and works alone. They make things up. And yet these men that Jude is saying, they crept into the body of Christ. He says, these men, they defile the flesh and reject authority. Well, imagine that, right? If they're not teaching it, they certainly don't abide by it, right? That makes sense. It kind of follows through. They revile angelic majesty. Some people believe that this is saints. Other people believe that this is hosts. I believe that this is angelic hosts. Why? Because of the example in verse 9. But Michael, the archangel, whom he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, that is against the devil, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Even Michael, the archangel, who has authority in spades, didn't say, "You know what, I'm going to take you on." He said, no, I'll just let God deal with you. The Lord rebuke you. I'm not going to deal with you. These, he says, but these men, that is a Jew, but these men, they revile things which they do not understand. They talk about angelic encounters and things like that. They don't understand these things. They talk ignorantly. And the things which they know by instinct, they're like unreasoning animals. They're untamed. In other words, they have no reason. Well, of course they don't, because they're making things up. By these things, they are destroyed. This is talking about doctrine, folks. They make up instruction. And that instruction goes against, it's hostile to the truth of God and what he's revealed. They have no reason. Woe to them! They have gone the way of Cain. They are destructive. And for pay, they rush headlong into the error of Balaam. Oh, they charge because they have the secret. The secret that you need to have a fulfilled life. Just cough up a couple of $1,000 and I'll tell you what it is. They perished in the rebellion of Korah. So they say that they have the secret, but they revile those whom God, whom brings God's word. These men who are hidden reefs. This is interesting, right? Because this is in this particular context, Jude uses a lot of shipping imagery. So we're talking about maritime. A lot of mariner imagery here. It says the men who are hidden reefs, you can't see them, right? But they're going to cause destruction to your boat. If you crash a boat into a reef, you end up destroying the boat. They are hidden reefs in your love feasts. Love feasts back then, believers would gather together, have a meal, worship, right? It was much kind of like this, but just imagine like a smorgasbord of food, right? And they would have teaching. But they hide within the love feast. They feast with you without fear. They have no honor. Caring for themselves, clouds without water. Notice the imagery here. Clouds without water. They look like they're going to rain, but they don't. They're clouds without water. They give no refreshment. Carried along by the winds, by their own machinations. They're just there. Autumn trees without fruit. Twice dead. Notice the imagery here. They are rebellious. They are dead twice. That means they are dead because they have no life, no spiritual life in them. And if they continue, they will be dead again as God will judge them, right? Wild waves of the sea, they're without peace, casting up their own shame like foam. Wandering stars. Well, back then they used to use the stars to guide their travel. But you can't count on this star. Whom the black darkness. This is an interesting word here. This word in the literal language means blackest of darkness. Have you ever been in darkness so much that it hurt? No, I'm talking about physical darkness. Like it's been dark to where you can actually feel it. We've never seen anything like that. This is the type of judgment that they have coming to them if they do continue in this intentional behavior. Jude brings up a prophet from the Old Testament. Enoch. We should remember Enoch from Genesis, right? Jude brings this up. He says, it was about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly. There goes that word again. That's the same word that's used in verse 4. The quality of this person who comes in and intentionally gives these false doctrines. They are ungodly, who pervert and distort the grace of God, who promote licentiousness and rebellion. Their message, and they can come to you with smiles too. Right? They don't have to look bad. They don't have to look like that. They can come to you with smiles and a nice suit and a tie, just like me. And bring about destructive heresies, destructive teachings. This is the quality of who they are. To convict all the ungodly of their ungodly works, which they have done in an ungodly way. And all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners. Goodness gracious. So you have one time, two times, three times, and implicitly four times. Because that ungodly, it's only found once in verse 15 where it talks about to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds. He puts them together. That the ungodly do these deeds. And of all the harsh things that the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Against who? Against God. They say things that aren't true about God. They add things that aren't true about God. And as a result of it, they defile themselves. That's the point. And they're misleading others. As a result of this. Can you picture how important doctrine is to God? How important it is? We have a lot of that going on right now today. A lot of people claiming to be Christians and yet deny the deity of Christ. They deny who he is. They deny the gospel. And they claim that they're Christian. And some of these believers or scratching their head. Well, maybe that is true. And Jude is going, no, you got this backwards. These people, if they continue teaching this intentionally, they will face a strict judgment by God. He says, these are grumblers, finding fault. Verse 16, following their own lust. Now, that's not talking about like sexual lust. That's their own desires. It's general. They speak arrogantly like they have the truth and you don't. All you got to do is just give them $3,000 and they'll tell you what the secret is. They speak arrogantly, flattering people, telling people what they want to hear for the sake of gaining an advantage. They're out for your wallet. They want a rapture, all right, of the money that's in your pocket. That's what they want. Let's shortly finish up this last section here. But you, notice the transition here. He's not talking that they're this or that they can become this. He's talking about them. You, godly, you who believe, you who have not been tainted by the doctrine, you who have been given this instruction and being convinced of this, but you, beloved, ought to remember. Why does he tell them that? Because of these people. You ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. That they were saying to you all, he's like, remember these words? In the last time there will be mockers following their own ungodly lust. Jude is like, these are these people. These are these people that the apostles were warning about. These are the ones who cause division. Oh, this is a big one. Division is about doctrine. It's about instruction. We are unified and we share a common salvation, much like Jude was going to write, because we have a common instruction. Anyone else who disagrees with that instruction, guess what? There's division, folks. It's already baked in the cake. We need not fear that. He says that they were saying to you that there will be following their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause division. Worldly minded, the word there is soul. They think about temporal things. They're soul focused. Having no spirit. That's the literal translation. It's not the void of the spirit. It's having no spirit. They don't have a spiritual nature. Their nature, their quality is not that. They refuse to be this. He says, but you all, again, another contrast, beloved. I love that. Beloved, because again, there's two separate groups here. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Again, look at that. That's the same verse, that's the same noun that's used. We are to build ourselves. We are to strengthen ourselves by our doctrine. Building ourselves up in the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Again, that's just meaning that we pray according to who we have in us, right? Our nature's been changed. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's just a fancy word for Jude to say that just abide in him by his doctrine. That's all it means. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord. Now, I struggled with this. Mercy, haven't we already received mercy? Why are we waiting anxiously for the mercy? And then, oh, I got it. Because when we are taken, then the tribulation happens. That's the point. Ah, okay. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some. This is now he transitions now. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Remember those people are going, I don't really know. Maybe it is true that they're saying this. Oh, we have to have mercy. And they're believers. We have to have mercy on them. And continue to call them back like Jude is calling them back. Hey, remember, you don't want to be with these people. Okay? These people, they don't even know. They don't know Christ. They've got it wrong. Okay? Save others, snatching them out of the fire. Those are the people who are doing this wrong. We're talking about judgment, folks. It's coming for them. And to be intentional about giving them the truth so that they will not have to suffer this judgment. and said, on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now, the flesh is not talking about, you know, they're not dirty, okay, and they need to wash their clothes. That's not what it's talking about. This is another kind of idiom, a Jewish idiom for the works of the flesh. As a matter of fact, we find this in Galatians 5, right? And the works of the flesh are evident, right? Impurity, outburst of anger, immorality, idolatry, right? All that has to do with improper teaching and conduct. This is a sober warning, right, to us as believers to contend for the faith, to continue to look to God's word for truth, for what is real, to not be hoodwinked by people who seek to intentionally want to destroy the very instruction of God. That is the point. We must be diligent. Because there's a world out there that seeks to want to shipwreck our faith, our instruction that we hold true. I will end this with verse 24 on down. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Soli Deo Gloria Church, let us pray. Oh, there's so many details in this passage, Lord. We just grazed the surface of this. And I pray, God, that as we looked at this very briefly, this letter written to the saints, very briefly, Lord, that we understand that judgment to those who intentionally go against your word is coming. And Father, we want to be intentional in not just holding to your word fast, but also, Lord, proclaiming it and teaching it to those around us so that those who intentionally are doing this may see the error of their ways and come to believe in your Son and be saved from the wrath to come. We thank you so much, Lord, for guiding us and directing us. And I pray, God, that we would continue to contend for the faith, that we would not give one inch. And if we find other believers, Lord, that are being convinced of these strange doctrines and teachings, Lord, that we would be brothers and sisters and take them aside and with mercy instruct them well. We love you so much, Lord, and we give you due praise. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.